going to happen again in the name of Jesus. We're going to see the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the manifestations, the visitations, and the demonstrations of Holy Spirit. Blind eyes open, deaf ears open in the name of Jesus. People getting up out of wheelchairs, people restored from having strokes. And in the name of Jesus, we say kidneys be healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Minds be healed. Bodies be restored. Whatever's been long standing in the name of Jesus, we cancel your assignment against the people. And we say, even as the service is taking place today, while you're sitting in your seat, just receive the healing touch of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for everything you're about to do in this service today. And if you agree, say amen. 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 You may greet one another this morning. To God, welcome to those of you online. It's good to have you with us whenever you are, wherever you are, as Pastor Rodney says. Praise God. Okay. Well, you can do it maybe later then. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Well, welcome to our first time guest this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everyone's having a good time. Glory to God. Well, welcome this morning, this beautiful Sunday morning. Welcome to our first time guest this morning. It's good to have you with us. Praise God. We want to say, first of all, after hallelujah, that wonderful prayer time, happy Mother's Day to all of you moms here. Happy Mother's Day. It's an honor to have you with us. You know, we could not do it without our moms, grandmothers, spiritual moms, and all the women who have prayed, sacrificed, who have worked so hard for their families. We know it's not always easy, but your prayers don't go unnoticed. The things that you've done for your family doesn't go unnoticed. God sees it. He hears it. And you know, his word does not return void. And so I just want to encourage those that have been praying for their children and grandchildren that they will, and you will see the fruit of those prayers. We call them back into the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Well, this morning, if it's your first time or your first time watching, our website is vlfc.church. And there you can find out more about us, submit your prayer requests, testimonies, past messages, video, audio, sermon notes. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share with your friends. Pastor Rodney's daily devotionals on our website. There's a link to it each morning on Facebook, and you can also subscribe to have it in your email inbox every morning and make it easy. Sundays, doors open at 9, pre-service prayers from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10, so come early for coffee, for fellowship. Wednesdays is Jesus the Miracle Worker Discipleship Course. And so we just invite you, come join us for sessions filled with teaching, discussion, activation, hands-on ministry lab training. Praise God. And there's also refreshments afterwards. Have you been enjoying the Wednesday nights? Amen. It's an awesome time together. We're growing together. And it's so neat to be able to have that hands-on training, but also right now just studying out Jesus, the miracle worker. That's so powerful. Our faith is building to see what he can do in our lives and in our lives and through our lives. Volunteers. So we currently have openings for greeters, the coffee station, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, and our worship team. If you are interested in our worship team, we prayed for you this morning in pre-service prayer. We know the Lord's bringing, you know, the right people. And if it's on your heart and what he's calling you to do, He's anointed you to do. Praise God. And also, I didn't mention to the ladies, after service, we have something special for you for Mother's Day. And so please don't leave without it. We'll have Kimberly over there by the door handing out a gift for all of the ladies this morning. And so we just honor and appreciate you. Let's see here. Okay, praise the Lord. Baby bottle boomerang. That's also over here for after service. Our local pregnancy center, Pathways Pregnancy and Resource Center. We're doing our baby bottle boomerang. It is from Mother's Day to Father's Day. I talked about it last week. It's all donation based there. We're a nonprofit organization, and we're there to minister to young families, mothers, to minister life in the community. Everything's distributed free to the people. So diapers, wipes, life mentoring. We have a boutique in there from size preemie through 7-8. We have household items, hygiene items. And so this is something that all the local churches do, and all throughout the nation. This is a national thing. So the baby bottle boomerang, those bottles over there, you can fill with cash, change, checks. There's also, for anyone who wants to do it the more modern way, there's little cards for a QR code, and on there you can do the drop down to baby bottle boomerang. And so what you do is you take that bottle with you today. And then on Father's Day, bring it back. And then we turn it into the center there. And it is helping countless lives in the communities. We serve 7 counties here in this rural area. And so it's such a blessing to see the changes. And I can tell you through our classes that we're doing, there's been such growth amongst the people. They come back, they take our courses. They're growing in parenting. They're growing as a parent, knowledge of their children, and those kinds of things. And so, and we do Bible lessons. It's always my goal to incorporate a Bible lesson in each one. And so they're all growing in the knowledge of God. And so what a blessing it is. And so if you're interested, the baby bottles are over there along with some other little items there with that as well. So praise God. This morning it is offering time. And if you want to turn to Proverbs 31. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 29. And you might ask, how is this an offering scripture? Well, listen and find out. Proverbs 10, a capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman. Who is he who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls. The heart of her husband trusts in her confidently and relies on and believes in her securely, so that he has no lack of honest gain or need of dishonest spoil. She comforts, encourages, and does him only good as long as there is life within her. She seeks out wool and flax and works with willing hands to develop it. I have willing hands underlined in my Bible. I just want to say that. Willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships loaded with foodstuffs. She brings her household's food from a far country. She rises while it is yet night and gets spiritual food for her household and assigns her maids their task. She considers a new field before she buys or accepts it, expanding prudently and not courting neglect of her present duties by assuming other duties with her savings of time and strength. And I'm reading from the Amplified Classic if you're hearing more words than what's used to your Bible. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength. And this is defined as spiritual strength, mental strength, physical fitness for her God-given task, and makes her arms strong and firm. She tastes and sees that her gain from work with and for God is good. Her lamp goes not out, but it burns on continually through the night of trouble, privation, or sorrow, warning away fear, doubt, and distrust. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She opens her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her filled hands to the needy, whether in body, mind, or spirit. She fears not the snow. Us Nebraska ladies can say a hearty amen in Colorado, too. Glory to God. We don't fear the snow, for all of our household are doubly clothed in scarlet. She makes herself coverlets, cushions, rugs of tapestry. Her clothing of linen is pure and fine and of purple, such as that of which the clothing of the priest and the hallowed clothes of the temple were made. Her husband is known in the city's gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen garments and lead others to buy them. She delivers to the merchants girdles for sashes that free from one service. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. She rejoices over the future, the latter day or time to come, knowing that she and her family are in readiness for it. The last two verses. She looks well to how things go in her household, and the bread of idleness, which is gossip, discontentment, and self-pity, she will not eat. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Going to partake of gossip, discontent, and self-pity, right? That's a whole message. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied. And her husband boasts of and praises her, saying, many daughters have done virtuously, noble and well, with your strength of character that is steadfast in goodness, but you excel them all. Praise God. So why did I choose this for the offering? Besides, it's Mother's Day today, but that we can see the fruit of our labor. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. So we call our moms blessed this morning. Praise God. That is a harvest of the seed sown to you mothers. And we just thank you, Lord, right now for that in the lives of our moms, families. And we call you blessed. Whether you're a spiritual mom, a biological mom, an adoptive mom, a birth mom, whoever it may be that the Lord has put in your life, we call you blessed this morning. Amen. Praise God. And so as we're sowing this morning, know that God has good gifts for each and every one of you. Know that He has good plans for each and every one of you. And as we sow our seed, we can expect that harvest, just like you're seeing that in your children. And if you haven't seen it yet, we're here to say we call you blessed. In the meantime, God is working. He's working on behalf of the lives of our family. And so when we're getting ready to say our offering confession here, let's say this together. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again. In Jesus' name. Praise God. You may receive the offering.
Hallelujah. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord again on this happy, blessed Mother's Day. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. And we're continuing today on the subject of miracles. Amen. Jesus, the word tells us in Hebrews 13:8, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the miracle worker. He is the miracle worker, and He is continually the God of miracles. Hallelujah. Again, what we call in this natural realm, what we would call a miracle, He calls ordinary. Every day in the kingdom of God, He's just revealing this is how life is. this is how it functions. Again, Genesis 1, you see the pattern. God saw what he wanted to happen on the inside of him. And then we see over in Hebrews 11, 3, he says he chose words and he framed the worlds. He framed the universe through words. So God sees what he wants to happen, have happen on the inside of him. And then he says a word, light be. And then light is. Amen. And then he goes about setting, you know, creation through words. Words, words, words. Words, words, words. Hebrews 1:3 says, he is even now upholding all things by his word, through the power of his word. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus came not as Son of God. He was the Son of God, but he did not come in deity and in his power. No, he came as Son of Man, anointed by God. Hallelujah. He came as Son of Man, anointed by God. Hallelujah. And you can see that over in Luke 4. You know, I am anointed. And he went about preaching the anointing. We see this again in his earthly ministry. And when he was starting out, he says, I'm here to preach the kingdom. So the scripture tells us that he went about teaching, preaching, healing in that order. The first year of his ministry, 3.5 years of public ministry, the first year was known as the year of obscurity. Why was it the year of obscurity? You'll see it in the gospel accounts early on. He'll tell people when they were healed, don't go tell this. Don't go spread this news just yet. Why? He did not want the mobs coming to him just yet with hey, here's a healer, here's a miracle worker. No, he needed them to receive him as teacher. He says, I've got to teach you. Faith comes by hearing. I need you to develop faith in this process. Hallelujah. And so again, as we've been seeing throughout all of these miracles were not done, you know, just by his discretion. You know, I'm Son of God, boom, you're healed. That's not how it functioned. Over and over and over, according to your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith. Oh, you of little faith. Every time he's always speaking to them about their faith. And so again, we're going to see this again today, but it says your faith has made you whole. Amen. Your faith is the one that made the connection. We saw this in times past about Jesus. He's in his house at Capernaum, which is actually right down the street from the synagogue where Jairus is the ruler of. We're going to be looking at Jairus today and his daughter and his faith and what happened in that miracle. Jesus. Amen. So he grew up in Nazareth, but when he left and he went out in his public ministry, he bought a house in Capernaum, which is right on the Sea of Galilee. It's some prime real estate, and it's a big house. So again, when Jesus was holding a meeting in his house, there were so many people in the house that the four crazy friends, they couldn't get their buddy to Jesus. So they went and got up on the top and tore a hole in the roof, and they let him down right in front of Jesus. Amen. And the scripture says there was power present to heal everybody. Only one man left that night with healing. Why? He came in faith. He came in faith. The others were there to inquire. They were there to admire. They're there to see what's this all about. They're skeptical. Again, a lot of the scribes and such, they came from Jerusalem and other places just to kind of see, but they're in Jesus' house. So Jesus said, I perceive their thoughts when he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. They says they thought in their hearts, blasphemy. Jesus said, I perceive their thoughts. And so he says, what is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise, take your bed and walk. All right, son, go ahead, rise, take your bed and walk. And he walks. He's the only one the scripture records of receiving a miracle that night. An awesome miracle. And yet power was present to heal everybody in the room. We're going to see, we talked about this in times past, the woman of issue of blood. We're going to actually kind of run through this today when we're looking at the story of Jairus. There's a throng of people. Jesus, you know, comes across. He just delivered the demoniac on the other side of Galilee. He comes back over in the boat, touches down somewhere in the morning time. And he's on his way to Jairus' house, and the woman with the issue of blood, she runs up, touches his garment, grabs her healing, and she thought she was just going to duck out, but Jesus stops her. Hallelujah. There was power present to heal everybody in the crowd that day. Only one person touched him in faith. That person was healed. And yet, because the disciples said, what do you mean who touched you, Jesus? Everybody's touching you. But they weren't touching him in faith. They weren't placing a faith demand on Christ the healer. And yet, he's Christ. The healing anointing is all over him. But just because you made contact with the healer himself doesn't mean that you're going to receive your healing. You've got to receive it in faith. You've got to take it in faith. And what did he tell her? Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Amen. It's not a matter of my will or your will, if I can or if I can't. It has everything to do with your faith. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's enough of an opening. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, glory to God, hard copy, electronic copy, whatever you have, let's hold it up big together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, do it all in Jesus' name. So when we wake up in the morning, I'm here in this day in Jesus' name. I'm going to go eat breakfast in Jesus' name. I'm going to get dressed in Jesus' name. Why? I'm building awareness of whose I am and the authority in which I live in this earth. Do all in the name of Jesus. I am intimately aware of whose I am and the authority that has been delegated to me, the believer, in this earth. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, you are an ambassador of Christ. I live my life as a representative of him. His earthly ministry in the flesh was 3.5 years. He says, now we look over in John 14, he says, greater works shall you do because I'm going to the Father. These works, I can't do them in that realm. The only one who has authority in this natural realm is those who are in this natural realm. God delegated that authority over in Genesis chapter 1. So when God wants to operate in the earth, he chose to set it up this way. He says, but he has to do it through a man. He has to do it through a man. And so if we will find out what God wants to do concerning a matter, do it that way, say it that way, call it that way, that authorizes God's word to manifest itself. This is how it works. So again, after he's delegated authority over to Adam and Eve in the garden, God, when he wants to do something in the earth, he would go and so him and Adam are working together. He's forming animals from the dust of the ground, and then he brings it over to Adam. Genesis 2:19, whatever Adam called it is what it became. It gave it its identity. It gave it its parameters. It gave it its life. Why didn't God speak it? Here's the truth. God couldn't. God can't? No. He had delegated that authority. He delegated not just authority, but dominion. Dominion is domain. The domain on this of the earth itself has been given over to man. So when God wants to operate in this domain, he has to do it to the one he gave dominion to. That was the man. That was Adam, which made the fall what the Bible says, high treason. High treason. You took this place and you gave it over to the devil. The scripture says Satan is the god of this world. Well, I thought God's God, and there's no God. That's true. But man, who had dominion, who had authority, bowed the knee to Satan. He was born again from life to death. The first Adam. The second Adam came to reverse and to restore us back to that holy place. The word says in 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God was made manifest was to undo, to destroy, or that word really means to unravel the works of the devil. That's the whole reason Jesus, the second Adam, was necessary. I need to unravel what the first Adam did. And he did it perfectly. Hallelujah. And then when he's here in the earth, he is preaching, the kingdom is now here. The kingdom is now here. So again, he was teaching the kingdom. He was preaching the kingdom. And then he was ministering. This is kingdom life. There is no sickness and disease in heaven. So when you will, when I will teach you this word, you will believe it in faith and respond to it. We can manifest heaven on the earth. Hallelujah. So again, the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's his will? What's his will? Perfect peace, completely absent of all sin, sickness, disease, fear, poverty, lack. So when I have something in my life, I look to the Word of God, I look to whose I am, and I say, no, this is not kingdom. Sickness and disease, that's not a heavenly reality. How many have ever heard of the heavenly flu? No hands? No? What about heavenly cancer? Anybody heard of that? Is there any death in heaven? Is there any fear in heaven? No. So guess what? I have dominion. I have authority in his name. Hallelujah. So again, if we're going to see his kingdom come and his will be done, it's going to be how? By faith. I believe the word of God. I believe who I am now in Christ. And now I take the name of Jesus. I take this resurrection life and I speak to this thing and I call it how it needs to be and it'll line up. It will line up. I feel like sharing this again. I grew up in church. I went wayward for a number of years. Thank God for praying mamas and grandmothers and family because, hallelujah, I was trying. I was trying hard to go another way. Oh, but the Lord kept arresting me. And finally, one day, I just surrendered and gave my all back in 2010. But right after that, I discovered these truths. I discovered that the Word of God is the Word of faith. Old Testament, the just shall live by faith. Paul writes it over in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Faith is not a moment. Faith is a lifestyle. And what is faith? Paul goes on to expound on that in Romans chapter 10. He says, is the word of faith which we preach. And then he uses salvation as the analogy. If you'll believe in your heart, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus, you shall be saved, period. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. The greatest miracle known to man is the new birth. You were a dead spirit. You were a sinner serving Satan on your way to hell in the lake of fire for all of eternity. And in a moment of time, you just simply, Jesus, you are Lord. You are the Christ. You are the risen King. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. That fast, you were born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you are, behold, all old things have passed away. All things have become new. All things have become new. Stop trying to live according to old programming. You're not who you used to be. That man died the death of the cross. Galatians 2:20, let's just turn over there. This is not in our notes. We'll get to it. Galatians chapter 2. Let's just put our eyes on it. This scripture is foundational for the believer. Galatians 2:20. I have, past tense, been crucified. Well, Jesus was crucified on the cross. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Now, Paul is saying, no, it was me. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. He's not talking about his natural flesh and blood body. That's not the real you. The man, you are a spirit. You are a spirit being. You have a soul made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And at present, you live in this natural physical body. Amen. In just a few more days, if that, the Lord is going to come, there's going to be a trumpet. Amen. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and in the twinkling of an eye, this natural, this mortal is going to put on immortal. It's going to receive a glorified body just like Jesus. Amen. But at present, you have a natural body which gives you authority in this natural realm. Glory to God. That's why you're still here. You know, when you got saved, your body didn't die. You didn't go immediately to heaven. Even though in the spirit, yes, the scripture says in Colossians 3:1, you have been seated together in Christ in heavenly places. In the spirit, your eternal position is seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 3. Amen. That is where you are seated right now in the spirit. Hallelujah. That is your seat of authority. I rule and reign in this earth from that place. It's my natural body that gives me authority and dominion in the earth to declare the kingdom truth, to declare heaven's realities and to see it come to pass. Again, this is why Jesus said, the works that I do, you're now going to do. Why? Because he says, I've got to go to the Father, which means what? I no longer have dominion in the earth in and of myself to do this anymore. But you do. He says, so for this reason, you're going to do even greater works than what I have done. So which means we're now going to carry on. So again, you are the ambassador of Christ. The ministry of Jesus, again, he did not do it as Son of God. He did it as Son of Man, as a model, as an example for how sons and daughters of God are to function in the earth. This goes all the way back to the original 10 in the garden. Whatever Adam says is what it's going to be. For life and also for death. And it's always worked that way. Always worked that way. Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of your tongue. Those who love it will eat the fruit of it. So again, how you call it is how it will be in your life, in your household. You can speak life. You can choose to declare God's word in the name of Jesus and with that authority. Or you can say, oh, yeah, cold and flu season, sickness and disease, lack. Oh, what are we going to do? I just don't know. No, Christ has made unto me wisdom. I know exactly what to do. In Jesus' name, by faith, I receive. Holy Spirit, you are revealing truth to me, and I see and know, and I'm walking this out with you in victory. I have no business. Well, I just don't know. I just don't know. Oh, what are we going to do? Gas is so high. Price is so high. Is it? Or is faith so small? Is God that big? Or is he the God of more than enough?
Yes.
Amen. We saw on Wednesday night, he took a boy's lunch, a couple of sardines and some little barley flatbread crackers. Jesus said, bring it to me. The boy offered up his lunch. That was his seed faith in action. Jesus took it. He multiplied it. Then he gave it to the 12 disciples, and it multiplied in their hands till everybody was fed. And then there was 12 baskets. So they each had their own baskets. They went and gathered up enough, amen, so that they had plenty left over. Hallelujah. Again, mountain so high, prices so high, or faith so small. So again, Jesus, over and over, great is your faith or little is your faith. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Jesus was preaching and teaching the word of God. So again, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. It didn't come by praying, oh God, give me more faith. What did Jesus say when the disciples asked him that? No, if you've got faith the size of a mustard seed, just sow it, plant it. It'll produce a mighty harvest. Amen. Take the faith you got and put it to work. It'll work for you. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. Well, again, where were we at? Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. So again, heaven has it recorded at the new birth. When you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away, but heaven has it recorded that you and the Spirit was nailed to that cross with Christ. Heaven has it recorded in the Spirit, you were nailed to the cross with Christ. You went 3 days and nights into the belly of the earth, into hell with Christ. Oh, but most importantly, you were raised with Christ. You were raised with Christ, and furthermore, you have ascended with Christ. So again, all the way from the cross, take it all the way to the throne. Colossians 3:1, you have been seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Again, this is not a someday gospel. Someday, maybe you can get to heaven. Maybe someday you can get your needs met. Maybe someday afar off, you know, God can heal me. Maybe. Nope. It's a finished work. You've been crucified with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. You have been seated together with Christ. He says in 1 Peter 2:24, by my stripes you were healed. Well, if I were healed, I am healed. Well, you don't look healed. You don't feel healed. I didn't ask my body. I didn't ask you. I sought the Word. And the Word said, by my stripes, Rodney, you're healed. Now, what do you say about it? Life and death are in the power of your tongue. What do you say about it? How you call it is how it will be. So I can either choose to agree with God in faith and receive that Christ, you were, you are, and you forever are my healer. Not just that you can heal, I receive you are my healer today. And I refuse to receive any other thought to give it any other place. Nope. Not my thought, not my thought. That's not my pain. That's my healing. Amen. And if you'll hold fast, the Word says over in Hebrews chapter 10, hold fast your confession of faith. It has great recompense of reward. Well, why did he tell you to hold fast? Because you're going to have a lot of opportunity to not hold fast. You're going to have a whole lot of opportunity to be moved by what you see, think, and feel. But he tells you, you hold fast. That's not a suggestion. Again, he's letting you know storms are going to come, but if you will hold fast, amen, and don't turn loose of your confession, it shall be that way. It can't be any other way if you will hold fast. It's not about whether I can or whether I can't. I have already done. But you are the establishing covenant witness in the earth. Life and death in your tongue. This isn't just a New Testament. That was Old Testament. Well, it's still true today. Proverbs 6:2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. Amen. Give the devil no place. Don't ever express yourself in terms of fear, doubt, and unbelief. Don't ever do it. Because if you do, you've licensed the devil to come and strap it on you, or to keep you in darkness, or to keep you in bondage, or keep you in confusion. Oh, I see and know perfectly. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ is made unto me wisdom. Guess what? I see and know exactly. John 16:13, Holy Spirit, He is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said He will lead you. He will guide you unto all truth. Thy word is truth. He will breathe on this word in your life and make it a reality to you if you will believe it. If you'll agree with it, Holy Spirit, I receive the Spirit of truth. And Lord, I just thank you right now regarding this situation, regarding my body, regarding my finances, regarding my family, that you're showing me exactly what to do. And by faith, I have the answer now. And I just want to thank you for that. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Turn it around. The sons of God. You and I are led by the Spirit of God. Say amen. Amen. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. Oh, I would just want, now you may not have a clue in your natural mind. Oh, but I want to thank you, Father God, that I'm led by your Spirit and I'm always in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing out of the right heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul and I, we declare this for years, over and over and over. Father, I want to thank you. I'm led by your Spirit. I want to thank you that I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, a stranger I will not follow. John chapter 10, there's a whole passage on that. Amen. Just declare that I choose to agree with God. Again, if I was to ask my natural head, I would tell you I don't have a clue. But I didn't ask my natural head, I asked God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first and seek only. Give the devil no place. Whew, I done preached me happy this morning. Glory to God. So we're going to go through this. The woman with the issue of blood, we looked at this a few weeks back, and we're going to breeze through that today. But we see here with her that faith speaks, faith acts, and ultimately faith receives. Well, from there, we saw the centurion, what Jesus called the greatest faith. The centurion sent back to Jesus, who had the servant at the point of death. He said, Jesus, I heard you on the way to my house. He says, don't bother. You don't even need to come to my house. This is a Roman centurion. He's not even a Jew. He doesn't have a covenant with God. Again, he's on that side of the cross at that. He says, Jesus, you don't even need to come to my house. You just send the word only, and my servant will be healed. I just need a word, and my servant will be healed. Jesus pauses. He marvels. I'm sure he looks at his disciples and even rolls his eyes. I've not seen such great faith, no, not in all of Israel. And you're the one who's got the word. You should know better. Jesus marvels. Jesus speaks the word, and from that same moment, the servant was healed. What, now, notice the confession of faith. I mean, you're talking about the highest level of faith. Just send the word. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word, and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The Israelites knew that word. They knew that scripture. We know it today. Why didn't they believe it like he did? The centurion didn't even know that scripture, but he saw Jesus operate in authority through words. He heard about it. And he says, I recognize how authority works. I have soldiers under me, and I have those above me. If someone sends a word, it's done. It's done. It's followed through. Amen. Hallelujah. We see here also the two blind men that they taught us that faith has to become personal. It can't just be general faith. Well, God can heal, and I know he's healed others, and maybe we'll see if he'll do it for me. No, no, no. Their faith was specific. I'm here, Jesus, you are the miracle worker. You are the healer. You are the Christ. And they even recognized him as Lord. Amen. So what they're saying, when they recognized him as Son of David, that's a messianic title, that what they're saying is you are Messiah, you are Christ, and you are Lord, which means you can heal, you have the authority to heal me, and we're here to receive our healing right now, Jesus. Amen. And he ministers healing to them. We see a very similar Bartimaeus, also blind. He teaches us that faith refused to be silent. Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Don't bother the teacher. Again, the crowd recognized Jesus as teacher. Bartimaeus says, no, that's Son of David. That's Messiah. And same thing, Lord, I want my sight. Hallelujah. Jesus, again, responds to the faith. Again, there's a whole crowd. The crowd sees a teacher. He saw the healer. The one with the issue of blood saw the teacher. We'll see that. Actually, we'll see that in a minute. They call him teacher. They call him Lord, Savior, Christ, Healer, and they receive it. So whatever you will believe about him is what you will receive from him. He is healer. He is provider. He is El Shaddai, whatever you could possibly need. He says, I am. I love that at the burning bush. Who shall I tell Pharaoh sent me? I am. I am? I am what I am, and I am, and I will be what I will be. I'll be whatever I need to be. I'm that big. I am. Glory to God. Whatever you need, he says, I am.
Yes.
I am. I got it. Now, don't trust yourself. Trust me. I got this. Amen. Trust Christ in you. Hallelujah. Whose voice are we going to believe? I mean, Jairus, we're going to see that today. Jairus teaches us that faith must also overcome fear and doubt. Jairus, we're going to see, comes to Jesus with urgency. He falls at his feet. He asks specifically, again, he's not just, oh, Jesus, maybe see if you can come do something. No, he asks specifically. There's a target for faith. Jesus agrees to go with him. But then delay occurs, there's interruption, and then there's some really bad news, it would seem. Fear, pressure, and voices are telling him, why bother? And in this moment, Jesus spoke the clearest faith command in all the Gospels. And really, this you'll find this throughout all of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, over and over and over and over. Fear not. Jairus, do not fear. Only believe. That is a command from the head of the church. Do not fear. Give the devil no place. Only believe. You only need to be thinking about, focused on one thing. The truth. I am the healer. I am the resurrection. I am the life. You think on that only. You speak that only. Don't think, don't talk, don't entertain anything else. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's look at this. Mark chapter 5, 21, when Jesus had again crossed by boat to the other side. Again, he just delivered the demoniac on the other side. A large crowd gathered around him beside the sea. Now keep in mind, there's a large crowd. How many people needed a miracle in that crowd? Just hold that. A large crowd gathered around him beside the sea, a synagogue leader named Jairus. So again, he's in Capernaum. Jairus is the ruler of the synagogue, which is right down the street from Jesus' house. Jesus was coming home. Jairus arrived and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded with him urgently, "My little daughter is near death. Please come and place your hands on her." Now notice what he says next. Notice what he says next. "So that she will be healed and live." He didn't say, "Jesus, if you can do anything, would you please try?" His faith spoke. If, Lord, come, you lay your hands on her, she will be healed. She's at point of death. If you will lay hands on her, she will be healed. Is healing God's will? Jairus wasn't confused about that. Why do so many believers today, why are we so confused about if it be thy will? If it be thy will. There's no faith in that. There's no faith in if it be thy will. No faith says, I know who you are, I know what you have done, and I know what you're going to do. Jairus placed a faith demand on that healing anointing. He says, I know it. If you will come, you will heal her. That is so vital to our walk of faith in every area of life. Jesus, I know you are my provider. I know the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, all grace is able to abound towards me. I will be self-sufficient. I will lack nothing, and I'll have much left over to do the work of the ministry. That's what your Bible says. What do you say about it? Oh me or amen? Either way, you're right. Either way, you're going to have it. You can have the old me and old my's, or you can have old thank you, Jesus. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. So again, they're pressing in. They're all making contact with Jesus. No one's getting healed. But woman with the issue of blood, verse 25, and a woman was there who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years. She had borne much agony under the care of many physicians and had spent all she had, but to no avail. Instead, her condition had only grown worse. When the woman heard, so again, how does faith come? By hearing. When the woman heard about Jesus, so someone came and preached the gospel to her. Someone said, hey, I was over in a healing meeting, and let me tell you about Jesus. He was out here, he was teaching, he was preaching, and then he started ministering healing to people, and they were all getting healed. Matter of fact, I was there, and I got healed of some arthritis. She heard. Faith came. When the woman heard about Jesus, she came up through the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. She touched his prayer shawl, that tallit. For she kept saying, her faith, She's so again, to meditate the word means I'm thinking on it. I'm picturing, I'm seeing myself over and over and over. For she kept saying, she's saying, if I only touch his garments, I will be healed. If I only touch, I will be healed. So Jesus, I don't need you to come touch me. I don't need your faith to do it. I'm just going to come and touch and run and go. Again, she's unclean. She has an issue of blood. She's not to be out in public. If she is unclean, 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 she's required to do that by law. And then she's running up. This is actually Jairus. He actually has the authority to have her stoned if he wants to. But she's going to run up, grab her healing, and duck out. If I only touch, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. At once, Jesus was aware that power had gone out from him. Turning to the crowd, he asked, "Who touched my garments?" His disciples answered, you could see the crowd pressing in on you, and yet you ask, "Who touched me?" They're a little indignant about it. What do you mean, who touched you, Jesus? Everybody's touching you. He says, oh, no, no, no. But he kept looking around to see who had done this. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him, trembling in fear. Again, Jairus is right here. He knows who this woman is. He knows the situation. She's not to be out in public. Trembling in fear, she told him the whole truth. I've been in ministry, 13 years now. You ask a woman, especially a little old lady, and when the scripture says she told him the whole truth, she went through every doctor, every treatment. This went on half hour, 45 minutes, I guarantee you. Think about Jairus. Jesus, you're here. My daughter's at the point of death. And Jesus says, yeah, let's go. And he's on his way. And now we have this massive delay, this massive interruption. Can you imagine what the emotions and the thoughts? Jairus, Jesus, she'll be here later. Come on, let's go. He's not saying it, but you know he's thinking it. I would be. Jesus, come on. My daughter, she's fine. We'll talk about that later. Let's get to the house. But look, Jesus, he goes on. She tells him the whole truth. Daughter, Jesus says, your faith has healed you. Not my faith, not my power, not my anointing. Not, your faith has healed you. Your faith, go in peace and be free of your affliction. While he was still speaking, messengers from the house of Jairus arrived and said, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Now imagine what's going through Jairus' mind. All this time, 30, 45 minute delay. Jesus is using this as an opportunity to teach. He's not worried about the daughter down the street. She's going to be fine. He knows it. But he's using this as an opportunity. Glory to God. Don't bother. Why bother the teacher anymore? So again, all of this is going through Jairus' mind. Oh, Jesus, if you had just been, we could have made it in time. So Jesus overheard their conversation and said to Jairus, do not be afraid, just believe. Do not fear, only or just believe. So again, Jairus knew Jesus. He said so. Jesus, I know you're going to come and I know you will heal her. Now, Jesus has to give him a new word because now she's dead. He didn't know Jesus as the resurrection. He didn't know that. He had no. So again, faith begins where the will of God is known. Again, if I don't know healing is mine, I can't have faith for healing. Lord, if it be thy will, maybe do something. Nope. That's a waste of time. That's going nowhere. Faith begins where the will of God is known. If I know it, then I can have faith to believe it and faith to receive it. So Jesus takes him to a higher level of faith. Do not fear, only believe. Don't consider forget what they're saying. Makes no difference. Don't fear about that. Only believe. And so in this moment, Jairus just, he's not saying a word. He just, okay, all right. And he did not, okay, do not be afraid, just believe. And he did not allow anyone to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion and people weeping and wailing loudly. Weeping and wailing. So this was just part of Jewish custom. They would even hire professional mourners. And they would go out there and they would kick up dust and they would, you know, play these songs and, I mean, just carry on and show a whole, have a big grief party, if you would say. That's really what it was, a whole tumult. So Jesus saw the commotion, the people weeping and wailing loudly. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. So again, they knew him as teacher. They didn't know him. Jairus knew him as healer. The woman with the issue of blood knew him as healer. To so many others, that's just teacher. That's just Jesus. You know what's funny? It's not funny, but it's. I have been in healing crusades. 2,000 people in the audience. And at those, I had the opportunity at that time to usher in these meetings. And I'm up at the front working with this healing evangelist on several occasions. And people are coming up, and there's some, I mean, all types of stuff. I'm talking blind eyes open, deaf ears open, people just, you know, organs and stuff being healed. And I'm sitting here ushering. I'm seeing them come up one way. He would minister to them. In a lot of cases, they would fall out, and I'm helping them get back up, and they're coming up another way. Awesome stuff. And most of the people in the crowd are just there admiring. And it was interesting to me to see the amount of unbelief that was in the crowd. Not everybody. I mean, a lot of people are getting healed. A lot of people are getting free. Not just these here. There'd be people sitting out there in faith. They're getting healed just in their seats. But so many are just there. They're skeptics. They're admiring. They're just seeing, but there's no faith. And they're not receiving anything. And they'll go from there, "Oh, that was pretty neat. That was pretty, And you would think in your own natural mind that, my goodness, there's enough faith in this room for everybody to get healed. This is Jesus. It doesn't get any better than that. And yet so many people did not receive him as their healer. Oh, they even may recognize that he is healer, but they're not receiving him as their healer, and they didn't get healed. They didn't get free. They didn't get anything. You have a part to play in your own miracle. And if you don't, you won't. It's according to your faith. Jesus is again preaching faith. Paul, again, this is the word of faith which we preach, because faith comes back here. And if you can have faith for it, you can receive anything. Hallelujah. And you can keep it. After he put all of them outside, he took the child's father and mother and his own companions, again, Peter, James, and John, and went in to see the child. Taking her by the hand, he said, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." There has to be a faith command. Jesus takes his words, speaks specifically, precisely what he wants to see happen. "Little girl, get up." Amen. And the little girl gets up. Immediately the girl got up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. And at once they were all utterly astounded. This is not all unlike shortly after this on the other side of the cross, Peter and John at the beautiful gate, right after Jesus has ascended. The man's been lame from his mother's womb. Peter and John looks at the man. Peter says, "Such as I have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus." Boy, come on. Grabs him and pulls him up, and then instantly the man is healed. "Such as I have, give I unto." He didn't pray for healing. He commanded healing. Why are you praying for what already belongs to you? If you are, you're not in faith. You have the dominion. You have the authority. Again, Jesus teaches this in Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever will speak to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass. He will have whatever he says, not whatever you're trying to pray. Oh God, if it be thy will. Oh God, would you please heal me? And all he's doing is repeating back to you, Rodney, by my stripes you were healed. And Rodney, I have given you the name of Jesus, and I commanded you to go speak into that name. Jesus did the same thing. John 14, he gave you power of attorney. In my name, go. In my name, go. Again, Matthew 28, all authority has been given unto me in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Now you go in my name. If I will go speak to this thing in faith in the name of Jesus, sickness, disease, you get out of here. Devil, you get out of here. In the name of Jesus, I'm laying hands on others. He said, they shall recover. Go do it. He says, don't pray to me about that. Go do it in my name and they shall recover. Again, people are trying to pray and to get God to do something. He's delegated dominion and authority for you to do. And with that comes responsibility. People try to pray and take that responsibility and put it back off on God. It won't work. Again, you're the only one who has dominion and authority in the earth. Either you're going to speak to the mountain and get results, or you can pray to God about the mountain and receive nothing. It does not work that way. That's not how the kingdom of God operates. There are spiritual laws that govern all of this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the God part, what does Jesus bring to the moment? Number one, Jesus responds to Jairus's faith. Again, notice Jesus does not qualify Jairus or his daughter or apart from faith. Jairus, did you sin? Did you got sin in your life? Is this why your daughter, maybe she sinned. She sinned. That's why she's dying. That's why this sickness and disease, that's why this accident came upon her. He doesn't ask any qualifying question. You go through all of these miracles. Again, it's on that side of the cross. He's not shed his blood yet. There's no one, there's no righteous, there's no one saved, none of it. Jesus never qualifies a single person for a miracle, ever. Jesus, the scripture tells you over and over and over and over, everyone that came to him in faith, Jesus healed them all. No one has got, everybody's got sin in their life. He never says, if you'll go stop sinning and come back, we can see about maybe getting your healing. No, not once. Healing was always his will. It always has been. Jesus does not qualify. He just immediately agreed to go with him and starts moving. Again, Jesus will always respond to faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that, number one, he is, and he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. When he says diligently seek him, this goes right back to, I'm going to find out what God has to say about this. I'm going to agree with God, and I'm going to walk by faith with God. He says, if you will come to him in faith, he'll respond to your faith, and you'll see your breakthrough. Glory to God. Jesus' willingness is never in question. Jesus stays with Jairus through the delay. The woman with the issue of blood greatly interrupts this journey. So look in here, delay is not denial. There are things that don't happen on your timetable. It doesn't mean that God's not working or that he doesn't care. Again, Jesus himself spoke to a fig tree and you saw no visible evidence for 24 hours. But then you did. The word was working the whole time. Give it time to work. Again, hold fast your confession of faith. It has great recompense of reward. Don't lose heart. Don't loosen your grip. Hold fast to it. It'll surely come to pass. It's just a matter of time. Again, you believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth. Mountain, get out of here. It'll happen. It'll happen. Hold fast. Well, I didn't see it instantly, so it must not have been God's will. Glory to God. Jesus, he's always with us. Jesus confronts the bad report. Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Jesus overheard and Jesus overruled. When Jairus's faith was shaken, again, he didn't know. He thought as long as she's living, he can heal her. Jesus had to give him a fresh revelation. Let me give you a higher level of faith here. Let me reveal something to you. Jesus gave this faith command, giving Jairus a word to stand on. Do not be afraid, just believe. Again, we saw Peter walk on water. Lord, if that be you, command me. Command me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. One word from God. One word from God. Peter gets out of the boat and he's walking on water. All you need is a word from God. Lord, command me. And I see in your word you have commanded me to be healed. I see in your word you have commanded all grace to come to me. I see in your word you have commanded wisdom for me. I take that word. That's my word. That's not just y'all's word. That's not pastor's word. That's my word. That's Jesus speaking, the head of the church, to me. That's why he put it in the book. That's why he gave fivefold ministers to come here this morning and preach it to you. So you could have faith. So you would say, yes, that's my word. That's my healing. That's my miracle. That's my breakthrough. And I take it now. I take it now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, Jesus gives a faith command. Do not be afraid. Just believe. Sir, yes, sir. Still believing. Jesus takes control of he gets to the house. He takes control of the environment. He removes the mourners, the mockers, and the unbelief. This is so important. I'm telling you right now, faith, real faith in God, is absolutely going to require a change in atmosphere in your life. Whether it's your circle of friends, whether it's your household, what you're watching on TV, what you're listening to on the radio, tune out. Do not get out all the unbelief, and I won't be single focused. Only believe. I'm only going to let truth in. I'm only going to bring Peter, James, and John with me, my inner circle, who I know are going to be in faith with me. Amen. I know Jairus is in faith, so you and mama can come in too. Nobody else. Everybody else, all that other fear, doubt, and unbelief, y'all get out. This isn't even Jesus' house. But Jairus gave him authority to do it. Jesus goes in and takes that authority that Jairus gave him over his house and said, everybody else, y'all get out of here. She's not dead. She's asleep. You'll see. Get out. He puts them out. Why? You cannot have faith and fear in the same place. One or the other is going to dominate. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. You cannot be double-minded about this. James, half-brother Jesus, writes this over in James 1. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He can expect. You can have an expectation. You'll receive nothing. You will receive nothing. But again, flip that statement on its head. A single-minded man, guess what? He's going to receive. A double-minded will receive nothing. A single-minded, single-focused, I'm holding fast, I'm not turning loose, you will receive. You will receive. You will receive every single time. Why? Again, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. So again, if I have someone else in my life who's pulling me away here, pulling me away there, or, you know, you just never know. You know, if you just pray, if you'll just pray, you know, if you'll stop doing, you know, You don't need Job's friends to come along. If you have Job's friends in your life, you need to get them out of your life. Amen. I just need a word from God. One word. Lord, command me. And I'm going to consider nothing else. I'm going to hold fast. Abraham is a good example. Romans chapter 4. I'm not going to go there, but for time's sake, you can look it up. The father of faith. Jesus, again, he takes control of the environment. Jesus raised the girl with a word and a touch. Little girl, arise. Again, Jesus, John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection, I am the life. Jairus' faith moved him to seek Jesus in faith. He stayed in faith, and now Jairus' faith is rewarded as his daughter's raised from the dead. Jesus would have never come to his house if Jairus had not come to him in faith. Right? What if Jairus had said, you know what? My daughter's dead. I'm out of here. Jesus, you should have come earlier. Could have. Some would have. Nope. He just stays in faith the whole time. And his faith is rewarded. Glory to God. So again, Jairus, in response to Jesus, in response to Jairus's faith, gives a faith command to the child, takes her by the hand and raises her up. And again, you always want to notice what's not there. Jesus does not pray. Jesus does not pray, "Oh, Father, could you do something? Oh, Father, if it be thy will." Never, never does it. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He does not gather a prayer team to see if prayer will work. Again, too many times people are praying when they need to be saying. There's a time to pray about things, but far more often it's time to command. In the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Body, you're healed. Now act right. Command it. Command those mountains in your life. Stop praying to God and asking Him to do something He's delegated dominion and authority for you to do. Amen. Jesus, He simply gives a faith command. Again, He's Son of Man, not Son of God, which is an example for you and I to follow. Glory to God. The man part, what does Jairus do? He comes to Jesus in faith. Faith requires that we place ourselves at the feet of Jesus, who is the Word of God Himself. Again, Jesus was heaven's kingdom lone representative on earth at that time. He was the lone representative from heaven at that time. Again, there's roughly 2 billion Christians on the earth. We're all to be ambassadors of Christ. We're all to function exactly like Jesus did. Glory to God. We're all ambassadors. We're all kingdom's representatives. So again, Jairus falls at Jesus' feet. So again, this is the ruler of the synagogue, the pastor of this great church. And he comes and humbles himself and falls at Jesus' feet. Amen. He risks his reputation. He humbles himself. He asks specifically in faith, "Lay your hands on my daughter. She will be healed and live." There's no waffling. There's no double-minded. This is absolutely, my faith is speaking and my faith is absolute. It cannot be any other way, Jesus. Here's what's going to happen and I know this is going to work. Thank you, Jesus. Faith is a journey, not a moment. Faith is a journey, not a moment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jairus walks with Jesus. He does not leave his side. Again, even when faith, even when the delay has occurred, and even when the death messengers has arrived, faith just sticks with it. Faith just sticks with it. Again, hold fast your confession of faith. Again, faith stays with Jesus, even when circumstances seem to get in the way. Well, maybe it got worse. Maybe you got another bad report. Don't be afraid. Only believe. I got this notice in the mail, this bill, this. Don't be afraid. Only believe. My God meets all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. So, Father, I want to thank you. You got mail this morning, and I want to thank you that this needs met. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, he walks with Jesus in faith, and he continues after the bad report in faith. Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher? Again, Jairus keeps walking with Jesus. Faith keeps moving when fear says stop. And I want to ask you this morning, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, most people can answer that in general faith and say, yeah, nothing's too hard for the Lord. I want to ask you this morning, is anything too hard for the Lord in your life, in your body, in your situation, in your family? What do you say? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus helps Jairus here. He confronts his fear directly. Do not be afraid, just believe. So again, Jesus doesn't comfort fear. He commands faith. He knows. Jesus knows, I need you to stay in faith, Jairus. If you faint, if you lose heart, if your faith, if you cast it aside, it's going nowhere. And your daughter will stay dead. Your faith is what's needed here. He could have said, Jairus, it's all right. I got this, brother. Don't worry about it. No, no, no. He is not here as deity, just doing whatever he wants to do. No, he needs your faith to cooperate. According to your faith, oh, you of little faith, where's your faith? Why did you doubt? He's always talking about your faith. He needs faith. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. What makes the connection between the spirit realm and the natural realm. It takes the things of the spirit and it appropriates them into this natural realm. Ephesians 1:3 says, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you have it in the spirit, I can appropriate it and receive it in the natural. You're going to do it by faith. It already belongs to you, but you're going to have to take it by faith. Ha ha, thank you, Jesus. Jesus brought his faith from healing faith to resurrection faith. Jairus believed Jesus would heal his daughter, but now Jesus needed Jairus to believe that he could also raise her from the dead. So Jesus gave Jairus a word, a faith command to stand on, and he does, which is the key to this miracle today. Jesus requires heart faith and mouth confession. Again, we mentioned this earlier, Romans 10:10. With the heart, one believes, and with the mouth, confession's made unto salvation. If faith only ever remains in your heart and is never acted upon or ever comes out of your mouth, it'll go nowhere. It will. You will not be saved. You will not be born again, and you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. If all you ever do is just, well, I believe that's right, but you never give voice to it. You never act on it. You will not be born again. It takes both. The heart faith coming out of your heart, that mouth confession, you're born again. Healing comes the exact same way. I believe, Jesus, you are my healer. And on that same cross that saved my eternal spirit is the same cross that healed my body. Mm-hmm. For by your stripes, come around the backside of that cross, those stripes, you said I was healed. This other says I'm saved. This other says I'm healed. I receive it. Yes, healing comes with that, and I receive it today. Amen. Glory to God. Heart faith and mouth confession. So again, Jesus, Jairus' miracle happens at the intersection of his heart faith, continuing with Jesus, and mouth confession, agreeing with Jesus' word, do not be afraid, only believe. His agreement, his continued action, and staying with Jesus proves his faith. So again, faith dynamics, we're going to roll through this. How does this miracle work, or how is this activated? Number one, he heard. He heard reports of Jesus's healing ministry. Number two, he believed. He says if Jesus lays hands on her, she will live. What did he do? He humbled himself and fell at Jesus's feet. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you're the healer. And I don't got this, but I know you do. So I'm here humbling myself. I'm submitting myself to the authority of the word. I'm submitting myself to the authority of Christ, and I'm here to receive today. Amen. Number four, what did he say? His request was specific. His faith spoke, please come and place your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Again, how he walked. He stayed with Jesus even through the delay. Now through the bad report, your daughter is dead. Jesus gave this command, that word to stand on. Do not be afraid, just believe. Jesus takes control of the environment and removes all fear, doubt, and unbelief. I cannot have faith contaminated, so I'm not going to tolerate fear. Get out. I'm sure he offended everybody there. I don't care. I cannot come into this environment and speak faith over this little girl. Jesus, the master, could not go into that environment and have all of this spirit out and unbelief going on and all this tumult and operate in faith. Jesus had to get it out of there. Single-minded. Activation point. Jairus continues with Jesus after the baptism. So again, his faith had been on the line the whole time. And again, when was this thing really activated? After he had the bad report, after he had that word from Jesus, he just stays with it. Faith is an act. I'm just going to stay right here with it. I'm not turning loose of it. It'll surely come to pass. And he just sees it all the way through to the end. Glory to God. And what follows? Resurrection life. Breakthrough. The miracle happened. Thank you, Jesus. He heard a word from God. He stood on that word from God, and he saw it come to pass. This is repeated throughout Scripture over and over. Old Testament, New Testament, Abraham did the exact same thing. He got a word from God. He stood on that word from God, and he received Isaac. He received the blessing. He received every bit of it. Hallelujah. And all throughout Scripture, over and over and over and over, whoever, doesn't matter, Old Testament, New Testament, whoever will come and stand in faith, it'll see it come to pass every single time, over and over and over. The Scripture says he's no respecter of persons. Well, he absolutely is a respecter of faith. Faith is the key. Faith is the key. Thank you, Jesus. So again, let's all stand. There's some extra notes here, but you can just take that home and read it again online. These are on there for you on our website under the sermon tab. You can go and print and download it and preach it yourself. Amen. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. We want to give you that opportunity. Again, we quoted it a couple of times today, Romans 10:10. If you'll believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Period. Period. You don't need to add to, don't take away. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. So let's all pray this together. Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Take my life. Do something wonderful with it. All for your glory. Amen. Praise God. Something just that simple. That simple, the most awesome miracle known to mankind. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, it just occurred in your life. You are no longer a sinner serving Satan. You're not bound by sin and any of its effects. All things have become new in your life. Amen. You are in Christ. You have been in Christ. And you have been seated together at the right hand of the Father as your eternal position in Christ. Now live like it. Amen. Walk like it. Talk like it. Live by faith. Walk by faith. Speak faith. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, if you're in the Ogallala area, we invite you to come into this place. Pastor Paula.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on up on this beautiful Mother's Day. I want to say a special thank you to our new mama. Amen.
Yeah.
She's been the
thank you, Lord.
Mother of this church. Amen. But she is now mother of our baby girl. And also want to give a special recognition to my mom and mother-in-law. If y'all want to, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. We love you. Yeah. Amen. So good to have everyone here this morning. Yes. Praise God. All the mamas out there, we love you.
Yes.
We're thankful for you. God bless you. And in the meantime, know this. God loves you. We love you.
And in him, we are living in victory.